Ladies, gentlemen, and all sports fans of Calgary, welcome to your morning show. Sports, life, food, and everything else. This train rarely comes off the rails. We've got big guests, the best insiders, and all the breaking news you need. Boomer in the Morning starts now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Let's get cracking. Welcome to the show. Friday. Super wild card weekend. How? And it's a weekend, you know? We got football. Got a couple days off. There is no reason to be hanging your head today. There is nothing that possibly could have you down in the mouth. You know what I mean? Could have you thinking, man, I'm kind of bummed out about something. I'm not bummed out about Riley. You bummed out? What would you possibly be bummed out about?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's right. Good job, Riley. Thanks for backing me up there. Hey, Pinder, there's nothing to be bummed out about. Everything's good, right? Feeling good.
There's nothing to be bummed out about.
There's nothing.
I'm feeling good.
Retro, right?
You sound great, Ryan.
Positive vibes only.
Heck yeah, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Woo. LFG.
LFG. Let's go.
Oh, what's LFG?
Let's.
Large frozen.
Grapes?
Glemonade.
Grapes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What a show today, fellas. What a show. Good to have everybody involved. Whether you're listening on the podcast in the future or you're listening live right now, what a show we've got for you. Stephen Brunt going to join us, as always, on a Friday. Looking forward to that. Our boy, George Russick, wasn't around last week. He's back this week because we got to talk about football. We got Super Wild Card Weekend. Has it always been called
LFG? Super
Wild Card? Is that new?
It's brand new because there's more wild card games. Come on, Dean.
So now it's super. Before it was just, nah, it's nah.
It was wild card weekend.
Yeah. Now, super. What if they add more? Would it be super duper? A little super duper wild card weekend?
I can only hope, Dean.
Oh, I'm ready for it, though. I am ready. What do we got? 2:30 tomorrow?
I feel like we're at the right number of playoff teams, at least.
But if there were more, maybe the Chargers are involved. You know. I'm just saying.
No, they would have lost to a team like Houston along the way to make sure that they ripped our hearts out of the last moment. That's the script.
Well, stick, you know what? I shouldn't have gone there because, again, there's nothing to be down about. Everything's
LFG.
Great. LFG.
Large fans of Glennon. Yeah. Can't wait.
Yes. If we could take our jinxy abilities and somehow carve it and spin it for good, you know, we'd be f***ing dangerous. We would be
dangerous. All we have to
dangerous.
Do is, move the team, threaten to move. The team's moving.
I don't know what it is.
See, Francis tried the jinxy powers. It didn't work for him. But we'd have a new rink by now if we'd done that.
Yeah. Think of the things. We'd have had that indoor, the football and the hockey thing with the roof. Old Ken King would be so proud of us.
Yeah,
we'd still be cleaning the land, but yeah.
Oh, we'd have got a bit have been built by now if we'd have really harnessed our reverse powers.
It would have cost money, but it'd have still been done.
Yeah, and I mean, you look back now, inflation being what it is, and the COVID and the Rona.
Yeah,
and
it's probably a better deal.
We'd have probably, at the end of the day, we'd have had two of those things built for what we're going to get one of these things.
That's Stamps just would have won a Grey Cup in there already.
Damn right.
Yeah.
We'd have had.
Would be singing there tonight. You'd have Doja Cat tomorrow.
Be getting ready for the
concerts.
Right? Getting ready for the Olympic Games.
Oh, yeah. Come on in, IOC delegates, you wonderful people. Take a look around.
So with that said, what happened last night? Because there's only so, you know, I'm trying, right? I'm sitting in here.
I believe Rhett gets the floor here. He was the one that suggested this was a likely outcome.
I'm sitting in the chair here. I've got all my notes. I got all the stuff in front of me. I'm trying to point this ship in the right direction. But
it's exhibition hockey, Dean.
hard not to feel like we're veering off course, because that, as you, you're right, Ryan, he did kind of think, you know, don't expect a masterpiece tonight.
Well, you know, and I think it'll continue if they're not going to play more often.
Do you think that's what it was? Just
I absolutely
infrequency.
You can't go off for however long they were off. It was at least 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. Play a couple games, travel around, and then sit around again. Like, there has to be a rhythm to it. And until they get into that rhythm again, you're going to have sloppy games.
And there would have been rhythm by now if they hadn't gunned a couple games already, right? Yeah. It was Islanders 2-3 nights ago, and it was supposed to be Vegas tomorrow. And instead, they're going to sit around again until Florida on Tuesday.
You can't.
Yikes.
And, like, if Daryl's, I don't expect he's lying to us, if some of those guys, the first few games back, are still battling through, you know, just the effects of being sick, your practices probably aren't as crisp or sharp then as you'd like them, and it becomes it becomes exhibition season. Oh, we're going to practice for practice for 5 days. We just were off for 14. Oh, we're going to sit again now for however long? It's no way.
Can I serve up a counter argument? Can I do that?
Sure.
All right. The Ottawa Senators, they had played one game since December 19th. They flew out. They were supposed to play in Vancouver, supposed to play in Seattle, postponed, flew out to play the Oilers, got to Edmonton. Actually, guys, you're not playing the Oilers. Sorry. Oh, they sat around for a few days, and I'll tell you what, they didn't look all that out of sync last night. They seemed fine. For those just tuning in, a 4-1 Senator win last night.
That is the curious part of Rhett's diagnosis,
they were still sloppy. I mean, they won.
Yeah, and we don't watch the Sens enough probably to say if that was great, good, solid, middle, like
they
first shot of
they
the
got
game
a few saves, right? Like
they surprisingly did, yeah.
So I don't think it was a masterpiece by either team. And I think you can expect to see some of that hockey. And if you win, that's the good and bad thing, I guess, is if you win, you don't care about it as much. You don't look at it. You don't dissect it. Oh, jeez, we won. Who cares? Move on. You lose, you're like, jeez, what's wrong with us? Well, you're playing exhibition hockey. It's not exhibition hockey. You're playing like you're going through exhibition, though, with all the practices and the days off. And it's too much time off. Boys need to play.
Now, let me ask you this. I don't know if it's within arm's reach. Can you put on your head coaching hat?
Oh, my back's out.
Just okay. Can you, please? All right. You got
the one, the mesh back with the bar through the logo with Daryl's been wearing with the press conference?
Remember back in the day, they'd have those, what were they called, the yokes or like the gold leaf things on the peak? Old farmer caps would have like the gold... Is it like one of those things? Go old school. Now, coach, and this is not in a press conference, but let's assume now that's how you feel. But what do you tell your team that came out and their mistakes? There were mistakes on it, but all four Senator goals came off direct mistakes by the opposite team. Do you tell the team, hey, guys, you know what? It's no big whoop. We can't get into a rhythm. Some of you guys still aren't feeling. Don't worry about it. 4-1 loss at home where we need to be really good because we've got a bunch of these games coming up against a team that is really down there in the standings. So don't worry about it. Or what do you tell your team?
I freak out.
Okay.
Get your heads out of your... And let's get moving. Hey, goaltender, stop it. Stop the puck for us. When we need a save, we need you. Just let's have that save. And the rest of you dummies, quit giving them scoring opportunities on your screw-ups.
The rest of you dummies. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a while to sit and think about it, too. Like, I wonder how a coach approaches the Tuesday thing. Like, it's almost the spot where you'd rather play tomorrow, isn't it?
100%.
So if you flip out, does that help you on Tuesday? Does it get people's attention? Do you have too long for people to think about it?
It's a long
All
time
your
to think about
immense
it.
Coaching yeah. experience, I wonder what you would do, Rad.
Well, he might not have done it last night, but I'm sure they'll hear about it. I think, in all honesty, if you're really trying to, he probably doesn't go in there and freak out last night. I don't think coaches do that a whole bunch after games, but I think there will definitely be a message sent, whether it was last night or maybe today.
Now, last night after the game, he did reference the fact that I'd like to get this team into a rhythm right now. We'd love to get into some sort of a routine and a rhythm where we can start building. But he also did have some concerns.
I think the emotional level of our group has been lacking for a period of time now, and there has to be a lot more out of the whole group in terms of that. I don't think there's enough disappointment when they lose, and not enough, there's just not enough emotion in our game right now.
He would continue. He was asked, as a coach, how do you now go to work to tidy things up? And we asked, I guess I asked him this the other day, what do you do? Because you've played very good disciplined structured hockey. How do you now get back to getting the errors out of your game?
You got to trust your group, and the big thing is trust who you're playing with. It's not so much what the coach has to do, it's what, you know, your partner, meaning you look at the defenseman, Nolan Ross, have had a tough time lately. They got to help each other more. I think Eric and Big Z are having a lot of trouble together right now, and they got to help each other more. I think our centerman, you know, Lindy's been under the weather, so just kind of hanging in there with him. But so we need more from down the line from our centerman. So, you know, there's lots of areas. Obviously, it's not just on one guy. It's not just on a goalie or on a power play or on a penalty kill. Those areas that we're good at, but there has to be a lot more guys able to handle adversity during. That's a big challenge with this group, right? It's still so much of a process that it can be frustrating, but at the same time, we can dig in and play better.
So a few things there to unpack. He said, Rass and Noah have been struggling for a while, and Big Z, Zadorov, and Eric Gudbranson have been, are really struggling. And those two, you look at the four goals last night, there's on the first one, the first Paul goal on the first shot of the game, Zadorov to Richie first doesn't get it deep in the neutral zone, and then Zadorov puts one and he pumps it right to the middle. It's in the back of the net. So two turnovers there by Richie. The second goal is where Backlund picks up the puck after two big saves by Markstrom in front, and Formanton is just on him. Check, check, check. He's got one hand on his stick, turns it over, Paul. Nice play there by Brown to get him the puck back. Just makes a great play. 2-0. Hanifin throws it up the wall. Johnny can't handle it. Then he falls down. Then Batherson roofs it. And then the 4-1 goal, the Brown breakaway. I don't know what Anderson is doing there. It's kind of a weird pinch, but it's not a pinch. He's coming up the middle. So four glaring mistakes, which they capitalized on. Because 4-1 win, you look at shot clock and all of this. Yeah, Senators are fine, but they took what was given to them by the Flames.
Mm-hmm.
Flames ran into an unusually hot goaltender because, boy, they had chances, and then made huge mistakes that ended up in the back of their net. So the goalie, yeah, maybe, you know, stop a couple of those maybe and maybe score on a couple of them. But to Daryl's point, you need a little emotion, and you need to certainly individually and as a pair, whether it's center and one of your wingers or your defense pairs, got to be tighter. And certainly the D pairings for sure. It's not been sharp since they've come back from that break.
And aside from the top line, who had a decent night creating chances?
And
like
I think
it still looks like a thin forward group in terms of offensive skill, doesn't it?
It is a thin over group.
Right, which is why we talked about Pelche and why we talked about the trade deadline. Like, your right wingers after Tkachuk are Richie, Pitlick, Lewis. Are those not all PTO fourth line type guys? Like, if they're free agents this summer, like, who's absolutely getting a deal out of those three?
Now, I'll say this. I don't disagree with you. There's no way you can debate that. But is it, do they need secondary scoring? Sure.
Yeah.
But by all means, finish your chances, because I was writing them down. Backlund had a chance right after the 1-0 goal, even strength. Then on the power play, shoots and he missed the net on both of them. Gaudreau had the chance off of Murray's glove. It's a great save. That Richie puck goes off of Murray's pad. Great save. Kachuk had that back.
He's got to get rid of that quicker.
He does have to get rid of it.
Like, why are you reloading that? You had an empty 4x6. So just Richie, if you think about it, it's the 1-0 turnover on the wall and then missing that chance. It should be 1-0 if you have a competent second line winger or third line winger there. And instead you're down. You know, it's 1-0 for the other guys, and you've given Murray some confidence. I'm not hanging the loss on a guy that, you know, came here on a PTO last year, but goodness, you can't have three of those guys in the lineup on the right side.
But
you
again,
can't.
But don't let me just, I guess, make the point that I'm making. So Backlund had tries, Gaudreau had tries. That should go in for Richie. Kachuk had that one that slid by tap in back door. You feel like that goes in. Johnny hits Shillington on that pinch on the back door. It's a great save coming across. Lindholm had a wide open shot, and I don't know if it went off a stick or what happened there. So that's, I mean, we're talking about six pretty good scoring chances. Mm-hmm. So they whatever they had in shots, half of them were, you know, high danger, good scoring chances. So there's secondary scoring, and there's also finishing on what you are getting, the group that you got. So, Richie, definitely, I thought the same thing. So why are you double? Why do you got to corral that thing and then just put it on net, dude? It's hard watching guys like, because I like Richie's game, but he is what he is. It's hard watching Richie and Pitlick, guys that just could not score. You can use whatever, you know, offside analogy. A guy couldn't score with a, you know, one of those things. They can't score. They just can't.
And so when you have three of them, it feels debilitating, right? Yeah. Because it's just pairs down the lines 2, 3, 4. Like, every single line has a guy that can kill an offensive play, and they work hard and they're good defensively, but there's just...
But it's the same group that was out there before, and they're winning. Right? Like, the concern I have is hearing Daryl talk about emotion.
A lot. Because, yeah, you use that word a ton post-game.
Right? And... I want to bring it up because I forget. I don't forget. I think we all forget and have overlooked the fact they were not playing well before they got sick. Now, again, you'll say, well, they lost to Carolina. They could have won.
I liked Carolina game. Boston was not sharp.
But they didn't win, is my point. And they lost four in a row, I think. Like, again, I think they've won three. Is it three games out of their last eight?
Well, they're
two and 10.
2-7-1 in their last 10 games.
So not even like, and to hear him talk, if they can't, it's Ottawa and there's no one in the building. So maybe that's, but if you're, again, we're also, no, we need the crowd and a certain team to make sure that you guys have emotion.
I've never bought it.
No, that's not our job. You have to show up with emotion and play. The crowd will get into, you know what my point is, or my fear is, if this emotion talk is coming up again, they weren't playing well, they didn't win, whatever you want to call it, in December, then they had the sick, and now they're back, and then they won two games that were really ugly. That Seattle game, great, cool to win, but didn't play well. Going to Chicago, not the best team. Okay, get the win still. Get snot bubbled through the Florida trip. Tough trip. Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from that. But then a flat effort against Ottawa, after losing three in a row, and you've had time to come home and kind of regroup, and we're talking about emotion, and that was the downfall for me of the team over the last couple of years, was that they never, you're like, where are these guys? They're not playing. Where's the emotion? I'm scared to hear they're not playing with emotion, because this is a team in the past that absolutely did not show up and play with emotion. And if that's what they're falling back to, that's scary to me.
And so the reason I'm talking about roster construction is because if you're having a tough time starting internally with that group, that is a big thing. Now, maybe that's a COVID, you know, the effect of all that. But there's ways you can bolster that. Like, bring a kid up for his first game. That'll bring some energy. Bring in a new player. That, like, what does the GM do here? Because I feel like we're at a pretty interesting point of the season. Boom. Like, if you're going to bolster this group, and you have bolstered the group every time you've been a playoff team, do you try to do that in the eye of, you know, trying to bring some energy, or do you look internally? There's ways to generate energy. Like, don't mm-hmm. tell me you bring a kid up, he's not going to start flying around hitting things in the NHL.
Tkachuk talked about it a little bit after the game. It's a good thing we got off to that strong start, because we've given some of it back. Because not only is it two wins in your last 10, you've only gotten one extra point. So it's 2-7-1. So a lot of those points, you've given some of them back here. And even those losses in the first month of the season felt like they had a chance to win. Right? They could have won that one, get a bounce one way or the other. It was a very close game, probably deserved a better fate, whatever. Now, did they win some they should have lost? I suppose so. But
absolutely, they did.
But yeah, to your point too, Rhett, there hasn't been a lot of, oh man, that's rough. How did they lose that one? Should not have won last night, did not deserve to win in Carolina, despite the fact they had a great opening 20. That was the best 20 minutes they played on the trip, though. I mean, Tampa, it wasn't close, really. I know that the scoreboard was, but man, they pulled away in the third. Florida, they've not
pulled away late too.
Yeah, they've not played a lot of hockey where you sit and think, if only they'd have got another bounce. They weren't good against Boston, and I do wonder if COVID had started to settle in there. But you need to find, and it is difficult because you need to get it into a rhythm, and you'd like to start to turn this thing around, but it doesn't feel like it's conducive to that, because now you don't play Saturday, you got Florida coming in, and maybe it's good you've got some, it's a tough team, and we expect Bennett will be in, unless he gets suspended before then. Tkachuk was asked afterwards, he said, your coach is concerned about the lack of emotion that you guys have been showing lately. And there was a bit of a pause, and then Tkachuk had this to say.
We'll come up with emotion next game. I don't doubt that.
And that was it.
All right.
So he's got the attention. Now, I'll ask you this, Rhett. There's emotional level. How is it different than compete level? Is it different? And I guess, where do you see their level of compete? If Daryl doesn't like the emotion, is it the same thing?
For me, it is a lot of the same. The one thing I'll say is that with a veteran group, you take the Boston Bruins. They may not out-emotion you, but they will out-compete you. And to me, that's just veteran savvy, the compete, where there are dog days, and they're going to come, and you're going to be playing every other night. So you are, as much emotion as you can bring will be appreciated, but they're your professionalism, your savvy, your compete level that you just have to have can win you games too. I think the compete is more, okay, I'm tired, but I know I have to just bear down. This is my role. This is the level of compete I have to bring, even though I don't have the emotion. The emotion takes you a little bit more and makes it easier to compete. So I don't know if that answers your question. I think they're tied very closely together.
Yeah.
But you can have compete without emotion when you're tired and you're trying to, okay, it's time to grind. I just got to do the compete. Yeah, I'm not feeling it, but I still have to compete. Whereas the emotion, you can tell when teams have emotion. You can just feel it. We've all been in buildings where it's flat and you're like, well, there's no emotion to this game. And then you've been in buildings where it's like, these boys are going. Let's have her.
Because
you can feel the emotion too.
Because I think that would be something, obviously, that Daryl's in a better position to gauge. We can sit at home or sit in the stands and watch and feel like, okay, they're trying. There's compete there. But with what's happening in the locker room between periods, what's happening on the bench when you go down by a goal or you get a goal back, or if Lucic scraps, there he would have a better ability to tell you whether the emotion that he's looking for is there. So I'm with you. And it's all coach. You're trying to get the attention of your team. But even afterwards, Lucic was asked. He got into the fight. What was it? Did you see? Did you feel like the team needed that jolt?
It just seems like ever since we've come back these last six games, it's it hasn't been there consistently enough. So that's something that we're going to have to find again. It's up to us as a group to do that together.
And boy, you'd love if the group responded to that incredible fight a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't see it, you know, tilt the ice towards the Flames as sometimes you hear the narrative. You know, Gabranson fought on the road trip. Like, they're fighting more and they're not looking better. That's guys trying to inject emotion or to stick up for each other, I guess.
It would be interesting to me, and I have no idea, and it just popped into my head, too, and it's happening to more and more teams. But you look at last year, like, obviously Vancouver got just absolutely throttled by COVID. And I would be interested to see how their emotional levels were the rest of the way. Remember Buffalo at the start of the year last year? They weren't that bad. They really, right? They were kind of okay. And then they got hit by the COVID bad. And then they were brutal. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if that we overlook it almost. The fact that, if we had this, it just takes you're losing 10% for I don't know how long. I mean, I can't imagine it's forever, but I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but right? Like, you have a whole team go out with something like this, and whether that was mild cases or some were worse, and Daryl's saying, well, there's still a little bit of lingering. Like, how long does this stuff slow you down for? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And is there a case study to be made saying, geez, the teams that have been, were the Islanders beat up by this when they started to suck this year? I don't know. Like, I'm just...
Yes, they were.
Yeah, yep. I think they were.
They in Ottawa, kind of, when the Flames went through the East on those two trips, they were the two teams they faced early on that dealt with this.
Yeah, for the Islanders, it was both, right? They got hit by injuries there when Pulock went down. Some of their guys got hurt, but they also had a bunch of COVID cases there.
Right, and so maybe it's harder to get the engine running again. I don't know.
And
to your point on Buffalo, just to back up Red here, they were 4-4-2 out of the gate. Their first 10 games of the year, they're 500. They have 6 games postponed, and then not soon after, they have an 18-game winless streak.
Yeah. Like,
that is what? You're talking
that's record
almost
books.
A quarter of a season without a win? It was awful. It was the death march.
And I think it sounds like... And I don't know, and you're not, because you have no reason to. It sounds like maybe you're trying to make an excuse. But I would think if ever people, fans, whoever, could maybe understand what it's like to have to perform at less than 100%, whether you've had COVID, whether you've been down, I think we're all a little bit more appreciative of what it's like to maybe not have a full tank of gas these days. And I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, my legs were hurt. I was like, oh, man, I don't feel good today. And I was thinking, what if I played for the Flames and felt like this? I would be absolutely no good tonight, regardless, right? I wonder how many guys are going out there thinking, I know I'm going to be terrible tonight, but I have no choice. I don't feel good. I didn't get enough food or whatever in me. It sounds like excuses, but I'm with you, right? I think it's probably a legit case that no one probably has time for, but I think a lot of guys are dealing with it. And sure, the Senators are too, but like you said, we know this team had it all more or less at the same time.
Yeah, and the Sens have had a rough go with this virus, 2 spells with it. But Daryl talked about that when we chatted with him a couple days ago. Like, he was the one that said it. And, you know, maybe they are better off all having it at once down the road, but it's not looking like it's an advantage right now.
No.
And here's the thing, they can't, at least in the world that we see right now, have a rash of COVID cases that forces them to play with like 7 AHLers. Other teams are still faced with that threat. But boy, to your point, Rhett, emotionally, they don't look like they're 100.
And you wonder, I think we're all in agreement. And I don't think it's an observation, not a criticism. Because that... up until even the losses in early December when they lost, I don't think any of us were ranting and geez, where are their emotional levels are gone again, like, because they were playing really well. We were very impressed with the fact that, well, they might have lost, but they showed up, they were there, they competed. Yeah, you're not going to win them all, but they were still, it was impressive to us because we hadn't experienced it with this group before. They were bringing emotion to every game. They were competing. And now you're seeing some flat efforts, and you're like, eh. And again, we might be overreacting totally. Maybe last night's the first flat effort, really. And was it flat, or was it Murray kicking out a pad and having a guy that should know better just tap it in instead mm-hmm. of trying to handle the puck in front of it, right? Like, if they win, are we talking this way at all?
Probably
no,
not.
No, we're probably yeah, saying right? you don't critique a win and you move on and look, it's a step in the right direction. But yeah, like we talked about a couple of little sequences where it's not hard to think you could be the team up 1-0. And that I think the sport plays out a lot differently for this group that's troubled offensively when they get leads. And that's the one thing that's gone away, especially on the road. But the first half of the season, I guess everything pre-COVID Christmas, they were up 1-0 a lot of nights.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been that yet, I don't think, since the break. They fell behind Seattle, fell behind Chicago, I think. And then all three games on, I guess they're up 1-0 on Carolina, but then that got out of hand in the second period the other way. But you're just used to this group playing with a lead, which is how you, I think Daryl wants to. And with this personnel,
100%.
It's easier. It's way harder to chase with a group that doesn't have confidence offensively.
No, you don't want to rely on. Anyway, yeah. That's the game yeah. plan for sure. Bring your emotion, play with energy, get the lead, and we go from there. That's the game plan.
6:30, we take a break here. It's hour one coming up. Stephen Brunt to kick off hour number two. When we come back, it's the Pinder Report. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
We players. This is Boomer in the Morning with Rhett and Ryan on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Coming up later this morning, because who doesn't love free stuff? Wild Rose Brewery, big partner of ours. Good to have them on board as always. They are back for 2022, and one of the many things we have going, because, of course, part of the Ryan Pinder, part of Flames Talk in the nine. Also, Boomer's Picks coming up. We'll push it off a little bit. We'll wait till there's till everybody's up. Wait till you're waking up. But every Friday, we are going to pick, we're going to have, because there's so many different combos, right? There's all the different beers, the different packs that they come in, 4-pack, 6, all that sort of thing. Plus, then you take, if you take your, you got your pink velvet. You take your raspberry and your velvet fog, you put them all together. Now you got a pink velvet. Different ways to pick them and sort them and put them together.
You got to get that foggy pond into you. Don't miss that.
That's right. That's the Ponderosa and the fog, right? The Gosa.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then I finally had my first cherry porter of the winter. And soon after, my second. It was quite something.
That's how it goes, right? One falls. Oh. Yeah, okay. Good enough. Yeah.
Sensational.
So we're going to have a pick for you coming up at some point this morning. We'll have a skill testing question for you. Hopefully you're ready for it. And the correct answer, one of the winners, take home a 6-pack of beer and a $50 gift card to the tap room, which is still one of the sweetest little spots in all of our city. Boomer's Picks.
2 days ago, yeah. There I was.
Is that right, eh?
A little goblet of cherry porter.
Wild Rose Brewery. We'll do that coming up a little bit later on in the program. Stephen Brunt, just after the top of the hour. Bad news, Ryan. Are you distraught over the news of Alphonso Davies?
What's happened? Did I miss Alphonso Davies' news?
Oh, it's not good.
Not good
Don't
at all.
Don't tell me he's hurt. Okay. He had the Rona a week ago.
He
be isolating?
He go.
No.
Brunt will talk about it. But some bad, not a good start. Not good. We're full of positivity. See, I tried off the start, but it didn't really.
I'm searching now.
I love freebies, Dean, if that's positive.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know that. You know what? Actually, the Wild Rose Brewery Beer Fairy made a stop here at the studio. I don't know if you saw the photos online, but they left a mountain of beer here at the studio. And if only you ever came in studio, Rhett, there's a big crate of it here for you.
But, and there's 24 literally with Rhett's name on it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Riley, you would be amazed at how many things are there for me that aren't given to me.
Yeah, I think there's still a bottle.
I could bring that pile of old cards that have been sitting there for 4 years for you to sign and mail back to people with
your beer. If you can sign them and just send them out, that would be fine.
Yeah, another one showed up last week. It's like, ah, sorry, buddy. I feel bad. Where's he from?
England, Germany, all over the place. And you don't even have the heart with already pre-set up postage to send it back to them. Just heartbreak. I'll just scribble your name.
You know,
not there. This person even put like cardboard in there. It says, do not bend. Like they clearly care a great deal about you and the state of this, I'm guessing, as a photo. They would love a signed photo by you, but I'll just, well, where is it here? May as well just.
Oh, Dean, that is illegal.
There we go.
You can't fits in the, someone else's.
It fits in the garbage can. Easier that way.
Oh.
Sorry, bud. Nice pick, though. To use a saber with the frosted tips. It's very nice.
I looked good.
You did look good.
I was so good and popular.
Really don't like this
big fish, small pond kind of thing.
Really? Mm-hmm. What about now?
I'm just...
Because it's still kind of a small pond. Still big fish?
No.
No.
You're bigger or smaller fish than you used to be?
I wouldn't call him. I'm certainly not a shark. Swim in the waters.
Mm.
No. It's time to move on and get to the Pinder Report. It's brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility. They are going to meet and beat all competitors' quotes. It's 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Ryan Pinder. Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Oh, boys, we were so excited yesterday. Oh, it's finally here. It's been a long stretch, not a lot of hockey. We wanted to see the Calgary Flames play at home.
What the f***? Oh, jeez.
So into the Flames we go. We sure were keen, and you couldn't help but be excited. An actual hockey game. That enthusiasm maybe waned a little earlier than we'd hoped in a sober, hungry, and sparsely populated Saddledome.
Senators bring it the other way. Here's a shot. Nick Paul scores on their first shot. The Senators score the game's first goal.
Got to keep them separated. 1-0 Sens. Brett Ritchie in a giving mood. That was followed by him somehow not converting on a yawning cage. 1-0 Ottawa, and not much later, it was... 2-0.
Round again, centering it in front. Paul to the backhand scores. A beautiful forehand, a backhand move by Nick Paul, who scores his second goal of this first period.
Rick Ball?
How can we trust a guy with two first names?
Rick Ball went back. Didn't realize he had those kind of moves. Oh boy, Rick.
Pope Nick Paul the second. It was 2-0 Sens. And early in the second, Milan Lucic trying to inject some energy into the building and game from a Flames perspective.
And now we've got a fight. Throwing wild right hands is Scott Sabourin. And now Milan Lucic comes back with some big rights. Lucic with some more rights to the head of Sabourin. Lucic with some big rights to the head of Sabourin. Shakes him and drops him.
Oh boy.
We don't have to ask if that guy still has it, do we?
That was
shivers.
Rhett, you've had a number of fights in the National Hockey League. Was that a rag doll that we watched near the end there, where he has him by the collar with the left and is bringing him towards the right? It's like he's starting the chainsaw.
It's exactly what they're telling you to do when you're learning how to fight. So when you're throwing, drag him into you so that you double down on how hard you can smash him in the face.
And somehow Sabourin left the game with a dislocated finger. So tough.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Those suck too.
Tough go, Scotty.
No fun.
Well, and I don't know if you guys remember Milan Lucic's 1,000th game against Toronto last year. They fought. And that one actually got Luch leaking by the edge of the eye. Not that he did poorly in the fight, but he was left leaking. Sabourin also fought Reeves, Wayne Simmonds, and others. 6'3", 210. Like, this is not, here's some kid. And so for Luch to do that to a guy that's fought those kind of guys, that was quite impressive. His teammates didn't seem too impressed, though. A spooky display of prowess and power, but no big emotional swing after that I really saw. Am I crazy?
No. Not really.
Because the next goal was, let's have a listen.
Here's a sharp angle shot by Batherson, and he scores. Drake Batherson from a terrible angle puts the puck into a teacup in the top quarter of the Flames net.
Are we impressed? I mean, we're impressed, but are we upset with our goalie? What do we feel about that goal?
It's a bit of both. It's a save with the game 2-0 you want, and at the same time, you're like, yeah, that's a tiny little vending machine slot he put that thing into. It's both, isn't it?
And if Hanifin wants to make a better pass to Johnny and then hit a landmine.
That's true.
Yeah, Lauren Mullican, oh, it's not the first mistake that puts a puck in your net.
That's right.
It's the second and third.
Mooney, he would know. Smart guy. Mm-hmm.
Kachuk would score early in the third to make it 3-1, but the Sens would add another within 5 minutes. 4-1 your final outside of the top line. A pretty miserable night for this group. And Coach Daryl Sutter spoke about a couple things after the game. First off, kind of Dean's theme. Mistakes?
There's some execution, Darryl? Some couple turnovers on a couple of those goals. Got some guys on the ice for too many goals against the last little while, which is a concern, but I think the emotional level of our group has been lacking for a period of time now. And, you know, I think Luch recognized that and tried to grab onto it tonight. But there has to be a lot more out of the whole group in terms of that.
Yeah, agreed. And he mentioned emotion a lot, sometimes unprompted, other times asked about it in the post-game press conference. They desperately need help in this top nine, guys. The right side of lines 2, 3, 4 again, Pitlick, Richie, Lewis. Like, which of those guys is guaranteed to have an NHL job next year?
Oh,
it's a lot of the same type of player that should be way down the depth chart.
We're going to be hearing
it's not their fault. Can you quit harping?
How many games have they played? 34?
Stop harping.
This is on the front burner for Pinder right now. We're going to be hearing a lot about this.
How can it not be when you look at that lineup? It's like. Tell me what you're thinking when you see all three of those guys in the lineup on the right side.
I'll be honest, though. That was down the line of things that came to when I'm making my notes, and it's here's what the issues are. It wasn't so much Lewis and Richie and whatever else. It was the mistakes that they made that led to these goals. All of them were glaring.
And two of them were Richie's.
And they had so many, and they had a bunch of chances, and only one of them went in.
Yeah.
So, but I can't debate you. Yeah. I would say
at least if you're going to be a fourth line right winger playing on the second line, don't make glaring errors.
Yes, that's
you might
that's
not
kind
score,
of
but let's not put the team in the.
That's the
down.
Thing with that play off the wall where you spit it to the middle, right? When it works, it's a sweet little breakout and you're on your way. But if it happens to be turned over, it's like, pizza, what the hell were you doing? Right?
9,639 fans in attendance, and they got to see Matt Murray record his first win of the season, guys.
I just think I'm gonna burp.
Yeah. I was thinking about
bit
you.
Bit of poetic justice there.
I was
Poor
thinking
guy.
About you, pal.
Oh,
yeah, that was my mentions on Twitter.
Oh, did people make did they bring it up?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Murray played well.
Yeah.
About time he did this season. We're into January. Elsewhere around the NHL, let's go for a spin. It was past tonight in Boston. Don't you love that, Rhett? It's all you can eat. Just fill your plate.
Oh. To the top right wing circle. Pastrnak shoots. He scores! Start throwing him. It's all Pasta. David Pastrnak with his 11th hat trick. And the Boston Bruins with a 3-2 lead over the Flyers. It's a power play goal.
If it's unlimited pasta, what are you getting, Rhett? What's the move here? What's the noodle? What's the sauce? What's the meat?
I might just go. I like that the thin spaghetti, the old angel hair.
Ooh, yeah.
And kind of a rosé sauce.
Really, eh? Kind of getting the best of both worlds there? Mm. I gotcha. You ever go out and just order spaghetti? Like
no.
Spaghetti and meatballs? It's a classic, but do you ever...
I feel like it's like ordering chicken when you go out. It's like, you could do it, but I feel like I could do this at home. Even though you can't, because these chefs are better than you, there's some things you just don't order when you go out. I feel like spaghetti's on that list for me.
I will order a noodles, like a fettuccine with some kind of meat saucy kind of ragu-y thing.
Yeah.
Because I love that. But spaghetti and meatballs? No.
My wife won't let me get spaghetti and meatballs anymore because it was always one of those things when the pressure was on. The menu said, hey, have you had a chance to look? Can we have another couple minutes? And then they come back, I'll have the spaghetti and meatballs. She'll be like, we need another minute. Don't order spaghetti. Because I was just like, how bad can you F up spaghetti and meatballs, right? So I don't know what I'm getting. I'll just give me the spaghetti. So now if I even try to order it, she's like, no, you're not ordering spaghetti and meatballs.
Now she got a veto on spaghetti and meatballs.
Can't do it. I can't do it.
You know what the Vancouver Canucks are finding out, guys?
What's that?
What the Flames found out last week. Not easy to rip through the southeast of the NHL.
Radish got it out to Boris Kachuk at center. 2-on-0. Cross the line. Kachuk right circle in front. Colton back for Kachuk. Score! Kachuk! A 2-on-0! And it's 3-1 Lightning with 8:36 left.
4-2 Tampa beats Vancouver.
I mean, Randorf's doing the call.
And we have to get that guy.
What about the boss? Who's calling the Boston games now?
Well, that wasn't Crazy Jack Edwards because he's the TV Jack. Call.
Yeah,
I know, but that's a couple days in a row. I haven't heard.
I know.
Played at Boston.
Well, we get the radio calls, right, Riley? That's generally what we're talking about.
That's where the system that we have all the goals in gets. Yeah, it's all the radio calls. Yeah.
Oh, it's too bad.
I know. Yeah.
I can mix it.
Telling you how.
Jack in every once in a while. Jack Edwards, I can throw one of his clips in. I'll just have to go on the interwebs.
Just you got to have a drink in your hand. It's pretty exhausting if you're not. You don't want to do it sober.
Make him work for
a Jack
Riley.
Edwards and Coke.
There you go. Don't mind that.
Oh, boy.
Carolina, best team in the league by points percentage. Columbus, screw that. We're going to beat them.
Lost control of it. Here comes Sillinger. He's got a breakaway. In on LaFontaine. He shoots. And he scores! That's just silly! Cole Sillinger with the goal!
Never heard of him. Winnipeg, Detroit.
Oh my God!
2-on-1, far side pop. He'll dance in, moves in, let a shot go! He scores! Andrew Kopp with his second of the night!
I'm surprised there's not a
couple shutouts there.
I'm surprised there's not a call the cops or police or something there with all the hokey,
two on the nose. I know a few
janky calls
that.
On the nose. Rusty Razor. Like there's nothing worse than that.
Yeah, well, that's the Pittsburgh guy.
Call Winnipeg. Tell him that he's missing out on some undercover cop. Call the police.
Yeah,
janky thing he could throw in there.
Case closed.
That's right.
Andrew Kopp. Something like that. Yeah. Two shutouts there. Columbus 6-0 over Carolina. Winnipeg 3-0 over Detroit. Battle of Greater New York City. It's the Devils and Islanders.
Into the high slot. Bailey at the right dot to Barzal. Point blank shoots. He scores! Barzal fires it home! Extends his point streak to 9 games and gives the Islanders the 3-2 lead with under 5 minutes to go!
There's a lot wrong with that, but 3-2 is your final. That was the winner from Barzy.
Ay, ay, ay. Did you see who was in net for the Devils there last night?
Is that John Gillies?
John Gillies, fifth on the goalie depth chart, made 22 stops.
Well, they owe it to him.
The backup, so here's, because again, he's the fifth. For their backup, they brought in a guy named Kyle Shapiro. He's 28. His last competitive hockey was played in 17-18 for the New England College Div 3 NCAA club. So that's
so he's
where
not
they're
far
at.
From Zamboni driver. Yeah, gotcha.
Like 17-18. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, where's Brent Cron?
He's hammered eating pizza. He can't be our e-bug.
I thought he was a health nut now.
Yeah, Ryan.
Well, now he is. It's a callback to the story, the e-bug story. All right?
Why do you hate Brent Cron?
He can only push one way. Let's go to Nashville. You think Ottawa beating Calgary is a bit of an upset. Look out for the Sabres.
Battled away by Dahlin, holding his ground. Two Predators collide. Josi trying to get back into play. Here comes Skinner. He scores. The Sabres again take advantage.
Two for Skinner. 13.
Right winger.
See how pace for 30?
Right winger, Ryan.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, it's good only
skater.
9 million until the rest of time, but...
13 goals in 36
not
games.
Not a rental.
Could he get to 30?
Did you see
be something.
Did you see who also scored for the Sabres last night? First of the season for Mark Jankowski.
Well, he didn't touch
pick
it.
Him
it was
up.
Goal. I don't know if it's a pickup.
Pick him up!
No.
He's a first rounder.
He is so a first big. Rounder.
So big.
He's not one of the best players in the draft 10 years later, though. Let's go elsewhere after that 4-1 win in Nashville. We'll head to St. Louis, where the Kraken were playing, boys.
That Kraken.
They release pressure. Buchnevich far wing. Shot on. Rebound. They score! Buchnevich, power play goal. 2-1, Blues lead.
14 for Buch. That's a nice little pickup from the Blues, eh?
No Tarasenko.
Trouble.
Yeah.
Buch.
No Tarasenko, no Parayko, no Shen, no Perron. 13-game home point streak for the Blues.
They're good. Off to Ottawa. Montreal had a lead late. Oh, dear.
Off to Chicago.
Chicago.
Not Ottawa.
Hagel's rink wide is taken by Kershaw. Looking to win the game. Taken down. Penalty coming up. Hawks hoping for a penalty shot. No indication.
After a video review initiated by the Situation Room, it was determined that the player had possession and control prior to entering.
Hawks win! Hawks win! Philip Kurashev gets his third goal of the year!
Shut up, ref! Hawks
I'm
win!
I'm trying to get a goal, Colin!
Shut your pie hole! Hawks win!
The old double Jake review Allen, in overtime.
So, yeah, that took a while, didn't it?
Yeah, they did an offside one. And did the puck cross the line before the net came off and who knocked it off and all that. It was a little anticlimactic, but, you know, Johnny Big Boy's there, tried his best.
Yeah. And good for Riley taking that 15 minutes and pairing it right down to a nice little piece of audio. Love it.
It was a long clip.
Pittsburgh and L.A.
Iafallo in for the puck. Hands it off to Kempe, out to Jersey, a blue line shot, knocked down in front, centered, score! Andre Kopitar from Alex Iafallo.
That's two a good for classic call night. Right there.
I mean, the quality's horrible, but yeah. Or is that just on my end? Rangers Sharks, the nightcap, let's go there.
Stromel on the goal line, back out for a shot, score! The Rangers get the first NHL goal from Braden Schneider in his NHL debut.
Good time to score your first game. Hey, Rhett.
19th overall pick in 2020 from the Brandon Wheat Kings.
Wow. Western Leaguer.
Dave Lowry.
Slate tonight.
Uh-huh.
We've got Dallas, Florida.
I love cats, eh?
Sportsnet West, 5 o'clock for that.
Yep.
Anaheim, Minnesota.
Quack, quack.
Yotes in Denver, a mile high.
Nathan MacKinnon.
That guy's crazy too. Vegas, Edmonton.
Not today.
No, not today. That's been postponed. You're right.
Not today.
Not today. Other NHL news: the All-Star rosters have been announced. At least
I blew
most
a snot
them.
Bubble there. You made me blow a
Thank
snot
you.
Bubble.
Appreciate that.
I gotta blow my
and
nose.
I could read you the All-Star rosters, Dean, or
I'll punch me in
I
the
could
face.
Play you DJ Snoopadelic's music from the All-Star game.
All-Stars. Snoop Dogg.
Oh, man, you know what? I'll never not enjoy it. The feedback, the F-bombs, yeah. Knowing how, like, Gary is just cringing somewhere in the building.
Hey. Oh,
what a collection.
Bill, could you talk to him?
So great.
Yeah, and Bill's like, no, I'm not talking to Snoop, no.
You just see, 600 five-year-old kids wide-eyed turning and looking at dad just, like, whoa, yeah. That was a bad word.
Head snapping.
Yeah.
Blaze that weed up.
Was that your Gary Bettman impression there that I heard?
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
it was
all right,
just,
I wasn't sure. Good, then.
You do that rather than talk about Johnny Gaudreau going to his sixth All-Star game. Deal?
Congratulations, Johnny. Good for you. Well deserved.
All the 1 year.
Well deserved.
To all of you that made the teams, that's wonderful. Way to go.
Yeah, and the good news, you don't have to get on a jet to China afterwards. I think that's
China.
Good news. China. China. NFL David Culley fired a 4-13 season with the Texans. This is his first year, guys.
You're fired.
You're fired. You're fired.
Great organization.
What were we expecting here? For.
I don't know why they fired
Watson. Aren't they supposed to be like a 4-13 team? That's kind of what I.
Like, come on. Watching them over the last month of the season, they were all right. And I know it's easy to whatever. They, what, finished 2-2? Come on now.
Not his fault that Deshaun Watson's not available. Yeah. Not his fault the old GM traded all the first round picks away. Like, what are they doing here?
If I'm not mistaken, he's got some dough coming his way, though. I think he has like 3 years. So.
Oh, baby.
Dough coming. That. So good on you.
General Mills and Tyrod Taylor, his quarterback. Sorry, David. You were never going to have some success there. It just wasn't going to happen. Not your fault.
Not your fault.
Indianapolis Colts GM Chris Ballard did not deliver the vote of confidence for Carson Wentz. They lose in week 17 and 18 to narrowly miss the postseason. You probably get to see you in the offseason, though. See ya.
Only 15.
Raptors Pistons tonight. Doubleheader on Sportsnet 1, Celtics 76ers at 5, Dallas Memphis at 8, and finally, a little international or at least Pacific Ocean news. It's the PGA Tour is underway, the Sony. Round 1 results, defending champ Kevin Na, 9-under leading the way. Jim Furyk had an ace. Slim Jim, ace. There you go. Minus 8, he's second. Canadian Corey Connors, T9 at 6-under. And in the Aussie Open, Novak Djokovic deported again. We'll see if they follow through this time. That's exciting. Bye.
It's a Pinder Report brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility. They will meet and beat all competitors. Quotes, it's Motorworks, 51st Ave, 3rd Street, Southeast. Stephen Brunt coming up. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.